or even ponder what she may have meant by that last remark. Meanwhile, Jack had been almost fatally distracted by the appearance of a woman from his dream. He'd been grappling hand-to-hand with a sticky who'd launched itself straight at the albino. Jack's left hand formed a cup that smacked under the sticky's chin, forcing its head back and up, while the young warrior's other hand fished for a leaf-bladed knife, those he'd previously held having been lost within the guts of now-chilled stickies. Producing one from within the myriad folds of his patched camo jacket, he used it to gut the sticky as calmly and efficiently as he would gut a fish. He released his hand when he felt no resistance against his arm. As the sticky dropped to the earth, the whirling dervish that was the dream woman came nearer, and for a second, their eyes made contact. Her features were as sharp and defined as he could recall, and her eyes as large, blue, and piercing as had been impressed on his memory. It seemed that time stood still for a second. There was no sign of recognition in those blue pools, but rather a warning. One Jack heeded, a fraction of a second too late. A berserk sticky leapt at him from just behind his right shoulder, catching him enough off guard to prevent his using the mutie's momentum to roll it harmlessly away from his body. The wild creature cannoned into him, knocking him off balance and making him stumble to his left. His feet skipped across the grassy earth in an attempt to keep balance, while he twisted, trying desperately to get a hand beneath its body to jab beneath the ribs and dislodge it from him so that he could get in a killing blow. He could feel the suckered fingers of one hand become entangled in his hair, pulling at it and reaching for his scalp to try to tear at the skin. His face was close to that of the sticky, its dark and characterless eyes glittering with hatred into his red orbs, its teeth bared in a triumphant snarl as its breath enveloped him in a noxious cloud.
Hey! Stupid works! Eat this, you fuck!
Jack saw the sticky's head dissolve in close-up before his eyes, eyes that blinked as gray brain matter and red-hot blood showered over him. The woman had drawn a hand blaster and had discharged it into the sticky's ear. At such close range, the sound of the blaster almost deafened Jack, and the smell of cordite obscured the stench of flesh and blood violently torn asunder. Jack staggered back a couple of paces, wiping the gore from his face with his sleeve so that he could see again. He looked from the corpse of the chilled mutant, lying prone with nothing that could be recognized as a head, to the slim and beautiful warrior woman who stood in front of him, a Vortac precision pistol in her hand. As he'd seen in his Mantran's dream, it was a perfect example of the art of Fred Craig, the designer whose pre-dark hand blasters JB sometimes spoke of in hushed tones. It had a unique look, but was obviously based on an update of the John Browning 1911 design that had set the tone for such blasters. The gas-buffered recoil system had allowed the woman to shoot at such close range and know that she could have maximum accuracy at a range where even the slightest recoil could have altered the trajectory of the shell and also taken out the albino. Jack was only aware that he was standing and gaping at her when she holstered the blaster in the small of her back, arching her hips for ease. She smiled, slow and easy, with a lopsided grin.
I know I'm beautiful, sweets, but looking at me like that is liable to get you chilled one day, just like it nearly did now.
Jack looked away. She didn't seem to recognize him. Why should she? But he was confused by her turning up in such a manner. Even more bewildering, did this mean that they'd somehow come across the Illuminated Ones? They knew that the secret group, who still seemed to survive in some underground form, had been based toward the northwest of the Deathlands. Had that been part of the meaning of his doomy dream? He didn't have time to ponder that, as the flame-haired warrior woman took several steps away and then turned. Glancing around, he could see that all the Amazon women had moved away from his companions.
Thanks for the assist. We were in serious trouble there. Maybe we should all introduce ourselves.
Ryan held his hands well away from his weapons as he spoke, only too aware that he wouldn't have the time to draw. Seemingly ignoring him, the warrior woman turned to her tribe.
Hello! Hello!
It was a signal that the other women took immediately. All drew their blasters, training them on the group in the middle. Glancing around, like his companions, Jack could see that the women surrounded them, standing among the slaughtered stickies.
Told you, old man!
Shut it, Margia. Now then, One-Eye, sweetie, I think it maybe would be nice if you told us just a little bit about yourselves, before we have to chill you.
Ryan shot a glance across the line. At the far end, JB was frozen in a half-inclined attitude, his eyes fixed on the Amazons directly in front of him. They were both holding hand blasters. The smaller woman, with wiry blonde hair, had a 9mm high-point comp blaster with 4-inch barrel and 10-round mag with muzzle brake compensator. The taller one, who had long, curling auburn hair and was younger than most of her compatriots, clutched a 9mm Kar MK9 7-round pistol with a 3-inch barrel. The armorer took in the blaster's condition and the manner in which the Amazons were holding them. He slowly and carefully turned his head toward Ryan and almost imperceptibly indicated with a shake that he believed the women to be well-equipped and too good to take on from their current position. The sinking sun glinted off the wire frames of his spectacles as he confirmed Ryan's own suspicions. The exchange was noted by Doc, Dean, Mildred, and Christy, all aware that the new arrivals currently had the upper hand, but willing to follow Ryan if he decided to attempt resistance. Jack alone didn't notice the exchange, as his gaze was still on the Amazon leader.
I'd follow what Four Eyes there says. I look after the blasters, and I can assure you that anyone who doesn't take the best care of their personal store gets fucked hard.
I believe you. And I admire your dedication.
Thank you, sweetie.
Shut it, Margia. You're too easily taken in by this shit.
Don't
you dare fucking say it. I've been friendly about this so far, but I may not be much longer.
You call this friendly?
I didn't let the bastard stickies get you, did I? And I haven't blasted you all to hell, yet.
Okay, point taken. But you've got to understand that we're as wary of you as you are of us. But we are grateful for your help with the stickies. We were seriously outnumbered there. What's more worrying is that I've never come across stickies that could think tactics like that before.
Funny you should say that, boy, because we've traveled across this foul little land and we've never seen them behave that way before either. Have we?
Can I take a look at some of the bodies? It may tell us something.
You some kind of medicine woman?
Yeah, you could say that.
So, let me see. You people have traveled, and you've got a wide range of backgrounds. A boy, a mutie, 2 soldiers, a medicine woman, and a wise man. Oh, and a warrior woman who really needs to lose some of those rags and loosen up to fight properly. On top of that, you've obviously traveled like us because you know stickies aren't always like these.
Yeah, but that's not the whole story. By the way, I'm quite happy with the clothes I've got. Some of the places we've been are too cold to wear as little as you.
Fair point. So what is the whole story?
We've been traveling for quite a while. How we came together is neither here nor there. But I guess we aren't a tribe like yours. Maybe we're just people who don't fit in elsewhere. Me and JB there used to travel with Trader across the Deathlands until things began to fall apart and it was time to look elsewhere. We've heard stories about a land of the north where there's a stockpile and where there might be a chance to build a life in peace. If that's true, then that's a chance we might just want to take. Guess we found out little bits here and there, but not enough to really get there yet.
That sounds fair enough to me, honey. I don't think that you'll be too much danger to us, as you're on a quest like we are. You're not out to take anything from us. I guess you can be easy. We won't chill you if you don't fuck with us.
If I wasn't so sure you could do it, I'd be tempted to laugh at that.
If you weren't so sure, I'd chill you where you stand.
So you know something about us, but you haven't told us anything about yourselves. I'd say a fair exchange of information was called for.
Guess that's fair enough. They call me Gloria, and I'm the Queen of the Gate. That's us, and also our backup, who are on the other side of the clearing by now, heading for camp. They knew we'd either bring you back or leave you here chilled with this scum, so they followed their orders to the letter and returned to camp, where our men are waiting. They know better than to fuck around. It's only by being strong that we've survived and thrived.
You are a nomadic tribe, then?
If you mean that we're travelers, then yeah.
My apologies, dear lady, for using terms that are unfamiliar to you. I shall endeavor to speak more plainly in the future.
I like you, old man. You make me laugh. Guess it might be fun to have you around. But yes, we are travelers, and we have our own quest. As leader of the tribe and hereditary queen, I carry with me the gift of far-seeing since birth. It's my duty and privilege to carry with me the legends and purpose of the Gate People. Since the days of Skydark, we've known that there's a gateway to the future, to a world beyond the one we know, yet not of the dead. This land will be free from the disease and pain of the Deathlands, and from this, our people will build a new and better life.
This gateway, do you, perchance, know what it is and where?
Ryan watched the old man, and also the warrior queen, to try to work out what Doc was getting at. He could see that there was a light shining in the old man's eyes, and wondered if he was sharing Doc's thoughts. What if the gateway to the future of which the woman spoke was a remnant of Operation Kronos. And if this were the case, then what else could possibly be waiting in this mythical place? Could it, in fact, be the place in the north of which they'd learned fragments? Gloria's next statement left Ryan in little doubt.